This week's episode of North Carolina Theater Stories is brought to you in part by Walter Guy Jewelers, located at 210 Hay Street in downtown Fayetteville. Walter Guy Jewelers specializes in antique and unusual jewelry. Founder Walter Guy Sr. established his first jewelry store in 1963.
Jason Wetzel from Historic Downtown Fayetteville, here again with Mr. Lynn Pryor, creative genius of the Gilbert Theater. Good afternoon, Lynn.
Good afternoon. And you have something in front of you, don't you?
I see something.
And what is it?
Here in front of me, it looks like an old, old piece of paper from an old ledger with some very beautiful calligraphy and some gold-painted stars, all done by hand. And I pray, sir, that you could read this for the listeners.
Thank you for that, for that unsolicited. Jason, I was thrilled to find this. As you know, for the last, all of our listeners know that the last few weeks I have been plowing through, but that, as an archivist, that might alarm you because I've tried to be careful in preserving things, but there are times when I'm going to show you something later, but I'm very sorry that I was practically destroyed because I should have waited for you to take care of this, things that were glued together. But I'm going through this huge old scrapbook. Now that I can see the front of it again, it's made of leather and it's 1909.
Really?
And it's a beautiful old book, huge. And it's just filled with the ephemeral things from the Gilbert's history the first 8 years. And I had not seen this page for 20 years because it was there were 500 pages over it. Anyway, it's called The Gilbert Theater's Purpose. And I'll read it to you now. Our purpose is to use our creativity and enthusiasm to support and inspire others as well as we all freely express our talents in joyfulness, harmony, and love. Even though there was those at this table who made fun of this. No, I'm just kidding. You called it sweet.
I called it endearing.
Endearing.
Well, it's an endearing mission statement.
Well, it is endearing, but I like to think that it goes to the heart of what the Gilbert stands for. Even though it's sweet and endearing and evidently amateurish. No, I'm just
kidding. You're reading a lot into the word endearing.
No, am I sensitive about
when you look? I didn't say enthusiastic.
Well, no, it just says enthusiasm. Anyway, I'm just kidding. This was our purpose, and I think it holds through today. Certainly, all the years that I was in charge. I think perhaps you've heard me say, I hope it was on this portion of the program, I've said to directors through the years that to me, one of the most important things about life at the Gilbert is that the process is as important as the product. And if you think about the implications of that, and so I would say to directors, that from the moment people hit the theater door for auditions, that they should be treated with respect and love, and we would rarely be angry with them. And so anyway, so that's, I like to think that that's kind of an asterisk at the bottom of this purpose statement.
But I find it interesting that joyousness is in there. That's, yeah. That's what I find.
Well, you know what? If you were to ask audience members, patrons who come to any play, they want, even though it can be a drama and perhaps very serious, they want a feeling that that the actors are glad to be where they are, that they would, there's no place they'd rather be, and that's this comes through in the way they treat the part in the theater in general. Anyway, enough about that. But now that I have, you'll be happy to know, I've completed this archaeological dig known as the Gilbert's first 8 years in this humongous ledger, journal, scrapbook. And everything, I finished it last night, kind of slumped over my desk afterward, because every one of these 50-plus plays had its time, its place in the scrapbook, the playbill, the program, snapshots, clippings, all of it ephemeral. And this is why when you heard, when I first pointed out to you, when you came to a play years ago, Jason, and we're there in the lobby down there on Bow Street, and I pointed out this scrapbook under glass to you, I said, oh, look how I'm protecting this. This is our original scrapbook. And you said, Lynn, it's in the sun. This is on acid paper. So by the time you were finished, I thought, my gosh, I thought I was being so protective of this. So we whisked it out of that glass case, and I began the funny part of it was, I thought, oh, I'm ashamed to admit this. This shows what an archivist I'm not. I said, I'm going to remove these things as carefully as I can. And then after the show with Jason, the oral history of the Gilbert, I'm going to put them back in. And you said no. And so after you said that, I eased them out, whatever, with abandon. I carefully, these were all glued in there. Bless the heart of people who did this scrapbook. But with all those newspaper clipping, we know how thin newspaper is, and have to ease it out. And I don't think I ripped one single one. There was only one thing that several photographs from A Midsummer Night's Dream with the entire cast at night, with fairies charging around and these wonderful costumes and all this going on. The only two photos that told about this were stuck together, and rather than waiting for you to do it correctly, I pulled them apart, ruining both the finishes of these beautiful photos. But there it is. Nobody's perfect. I guess this podcast proves that I'm among that group. Anyway, so the scrapbook is now in big envelopes. I'm looking at it right now, and it's all in alphabetical order, over 50 plays, Midsummer Night's Dream, A My Name is Alice, An Evening of One Acts, As You Like It, The Club, Friendly Fire, Crisis at Trinity, and so on. And sooner or later, I think we're going to talk about many of these. Some of them we've already talked about. So we'll get to them sooner or later. But one of the things that was so exciting for me is to rediscover these early years, things that we did 20 years ago. And some of them come up to me and said, well, I was in the garden, 20 years ago and saw this play. And I'm always thrilled when I meet people who are early patrons, came to the house, either the Black Box or the garden. And it's just so gratifying. And we talk about it with them. But then people who were in the plays will come to me and I try to remember who they are. This is just hundreds of people. And it's been a great joy. But that part of it, and that's been going on for years. But now, these last few days, to open these pages up, and having the paper just kind of disintegrate in my hand, oh my God, I forgot we even did that. Then I'll pull out all the material, the program, and we've always had very, very handsome programs. You're looking at one now. They're very, with our beautiful Gilbert G, which is and this type that we have used. We could thank Greg King for that.
What was the font?
And James found it for us. It was
Cloister Black.
Cloister Black is the name of the font. And But anyway, then we and after so this one that I pulled that we're going to share right tonight is An Afternoon with Marilyn Sachs. And in that in this packet I now I have photographs colored. I have the postcards that went out to our patron list. We have reviews from the long suffering Roger Mullen who has been with us for I was in fact I ran into Roger I think at the Veterans Parade, and I said, Roger, my God, I have been reading your stuff from 20 years ago, 18 years ago, 15 years ago.
And Roger, who is Roger?
Well, he works for the Observer.
Roger Mullen.
Roger Mullen, and he has been our reviewer for so many years. Such a great great journalist, and. And anyway, so we both laughed over that, and I said, I have been reading your things for the last 20 years again. Anyway, so here I have them in front of me, Jason. And this show, how this came about is I find interesting. We were having a board meeting. And one of our board members, Edwina Lindsay, a wonderful elementary school librarian, as was I, and we were started talking. I don't know how I brought it, why I brought it up, but I said, "Do you have Marilyn Sachs's books in your library?" And I said, "She's a good friend of mine," and she said, "You know Marilyn Sachs? Well, she's any children's librarian gets very, very excited and emotional about that name because she's written 40 books." And some of the award-winning, wonderful books for grades 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And she had the idea. She said, why don't we do an evening of Marilyn Sachs? I said, but these are novels for children. I said, of course, we do children's work. But adapt them for the stage. And that's exactly what we did. And it was such a good idea. And so this is what the program says about Marilyn Sachs. Marilyn Sachs is the acclaimed author of many popular books. The Bear's House, a National Book Award finalist, and Fran Ellen's House, an ALA, that's American Library Association, notable book, and winner of Parents' Choice Award for Literature. Ms. Sachs is presently working on her 38th book in her San Francisco home. Of course, this is 17, 18 years ago. And 16 years ago, actually. Anyway, so I wrote Marilyn and told her, or telephoned her, that we would like to do this. Would she object? She gave us permission. And then we had them adapted for stage. And I'm going to come up with the name of that person in a minute. It's terrible the way I'm not prepared for these broadcasts. Anyway, James is nodding over there. Jane, that wasn't very nice. I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to have to call your mother on this one for sure. Anyway, so Marilyn...
Somebody on the street, tell me that.
Marilyn said, yes, do it. So I chose two of her books, two of my favorites. The Bear's House, Veronica Gantz. Anybody who's familiar with children's literature is going to smile and nod their heads over those two. Then she wrote an original one for that show, for that program. And it was called Read Between the Lines, actually. And so I chose directors. Wonderful Mimi Carter was the director for The Bear's House. No, for, let's see. Yeah, she was the director of everything for the day. Then so on. But anyway, let me tell you about The Bear's House. The Bear's House, I just loved it. It had to do with a girl, 10-year-old girl named Fran Allen. And she came from a family that was just falling apart. But she loved coming to school for one reason, and that was the teacher had a custom-made dollhouse that her father, years and years before, had made for her, and with custom furniture in it. And the family was were little miniature bears, were bears. And if you, and she, and when she started, this woman, when she started teaching, she brought the this beautiful, large, custom dollhouse into her classroom. It was there for years and years and years. And if you, each day, one person would be, be given the honor of being able to go and sit in front of the dollhouse and play with it very carefully. But you had to have done your work and all that. And so each, I guess each day, a different person would go and do that. Well, Fran, when Fran Ellen's day came, the teacher was so surprised. She sat there in front of it, and children teased her mercilessly. She was all kind of smelled, and she had old clothes, and she constantly sucked her thumb, like in third grade. And she sat there in front of the bear's house, sucking her thumb, and didn't move a thing. She didn't move a bear. She didn't play with it. She didn't move any furniture. She just sat there for whatever allotted time, 20 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever, just sucking her thumb. Little did the teacher know that Fran Ellen was placing herself in the dollhouse, and suddenly she was in part of a loving family. And I'm about to tear up just telling about it. It was beautifully written story, and so we adapted this for stage, and then I, and you'll see in this clipping here, Jason, I had a dollhouse. Of course, I had two of them actually. One was one was an 18th century antique English one, which I should never have sold. But here's a smaller one that we use for the play.
It almost looks like craftsman style.
It's craftsman, yeah. Right? The what, James?
Did you have this as a child? It seems like a fancy.
No. It wasn't as a child. I gathered it as an adult. You get to do the things you want as an adult that you are denied as a child.
That's true.
Of course, this is volumes about me. But anyway, but this was a fabulous 18th century dollhouse that I sold in Berkeley during the hard times when I needed the money. But this one I've had until recently. I don't know where it is. I no longer own it, the one we use for the play. But nevertheless, let me just tell you, in my library in Clayton, California, I said, I was able to buy a dollhouse that was multi-storied. It was like a colonial, pretty good size. And furnished it, and then I put in a family of bears. And I, if you wanted to play in the dollhouse, you walked up to the checkout counter and talked to a parent volunteer in my library and said, I want to play. It could only be two at a time. Play in the bear's house. And I know, surely I told Marilyn this. I know I did. Of course I did. Marilyn Sachs. And then there were stools there, so that if you're too short, you could stand there. And then you had a badge that you put over your neck that you had said anybody looking, parent, volunteer, member, that these children had permission to do this. They had the badge around their neck. They would stand on these stools and display for a length of time. And so I brought the bear's house, and then every two or three years I would share the book. I would do a book talk with the children about the bear's house. I love doing book talks. Someday we'll talk about me in the library. I had a marvelous, marvelous career in there, just doing what I wanted. Anyway, so Bear's House was one of the plays, and I was so pleased to be reminded that my granddaughter, Ashley Pryor, was Papa Bear. So that was one of the plays, The Bear's House. And these were everything we did in the garden. I'm sure I mentioned this before, Jason. Had to be during daylight. So these were afternoon performances, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, in the Gilbert Garden. And parents, where our children's show, parents would come with their children. Occasionally we'd have just adults come in and say, I don't have a child, can I come? I don't have any children, can I still come? I love your children's plays. And they'd sit there and we'd bring picnic and have pizza and soft drinks or whatever on a blanket or folding chairs and watch these plays. And they were just marvelous. That's the thing that when we had to leave here after 8 years, I was very, very sorry, particularly to leave the garden shows. But then the second book of hers was called Veronica Gans. And Veronica was in her school, was the school bully. Everyone was afraid of Veronica. And this is one of the books that really put Marilyn Sachs on the map nationwide with this horrible girl who beat up kids and do all kinds of things. But then someone comes into her school, a boy named Peter Weiermeyer, and he was not going to be intimidated by Veronica, and they soon become fast friends. It's a marvelous story, and the adaptation was marvelous. But I have to tell you, we had the Bear's House play, probably 30 minutes. We had Veronica Gans, probably 20, 30 minutes. It was just scenes from it. Then we had the John and Caroline Parsons there to sing for us before the show and after the show. And we just had them on the storage part of our show, you know, a few weeks ago. It was wonderful reconnecting about the Gilbert with them. And then we had hoped to have Marilyn Sachs fly out here and be with us for this show, but she was not. She got sick and couldn't come. So we had one of those amplified phone conversations, where I asked her questions and the children were able to ask her questions. So it would just be amplified all over the garden, talking with the author. So the children just sat there, and you can imagine just rapt attention, listening to the very person that had written the stories that they had just.
Any of those questions come to mind?
No, I can't. I can't remember actually anything, but let me just say what I wrote what it said in the invitation that went out to our patrons. An afternoon with Marilyn Sachs, calling all children, grab your favorite adult and head for the Gilbert Garden for an afternoon with Marilyn Sachs, one of America's most beloved writers of children's books. You will see three exciting plays. Enjoy folk singing with John Caroline Parsons, as well as hearing Miss Sachs speak to us over the telephone from her home in San Francisco. Autographed books will be available for the purchase for $8. The show says this is a few years ago. These books are now more like 20 years now.
That's it.
$20 now. The Gilbert Garden opens at 3 p.m., curtain at 4. And people would come at 3 and just have their lunch and enjoy the beauty of the garden and so on. It says, bring a picnic lunch and a blanket. So, then at the very bottom, please do not park on Brands Lane. Anyway, so Jason, there it is. And then I got this note from Marilyn. Dear Lynn, here is the new play, one that she'd written just for our day. And it was a fantasy of children going into a library and characters come alive and they have an adventure. I hope you'll like it. Love, Marilyn.